Take a Bible here, turn to Jeremiah 17, and we'll get started. Brother Phil Gabbard and I were at a meeting one time. I don't know if Jeremiah was there. We were down at Dennis Hicks, who is now with the Lord, at a meeting in Sweetwater, Tennessee. And Brother Thunderbird was there, a fellow who I met at Mooresville years ago. And he preached on there's no hope in the Pope, soap, or dope. Pretty good message, Brother Thunderbird. He was a character anyhow. You remember that message, Brother Gabbard? All right. Oh my. But Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Hebrews 6:17, the Bible says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. That's a good $10 word, immutability. It can't be changed. It's immutable. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, there it is again, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Why can't God lie? Because he's holy. He's holy. God is faithful and cannot deny himself. He's holy. He has to tell the truth because of his very nature. It would be outside of his character and his nature to tell a lie. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He don't change his mind about it. Hath he said and shall he not do it, or hath he spoken shall he not make it good? That's our Lord. It was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. That's what I anchor myself to, the fact that God has to do what he says he'll do. He says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Man, I anchor to that. Man, that's a good place to anchor. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a good place to anchor, knowing that God has to do what he... Now, that's kind of putting it roughly, but that's just how it is. He's holy. He can't not do it because of his holiness. It's not about us. It's about his son, Jesus Christ. The Lord said, all that you've given to me, I've kept, and none of them is lost. For know that neither life nor death nor things present or things to come or powers or principalities, all that stuff can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God loves his son. He hears your prayers and he hears my prayer, not because how good we've been, but because of his son, because of Jesus Christ. That open door. I heard a preacher up in Mooresville this week preaching on Lot. And God saved Lot and his house for Abraham's sake. It wasn't because Lot was a fine fella. I heard another preacher say one time, well, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah not because of all the wicked, but because he couldn't find 10 righteous men there. I don't know. But what I was saying, he did it for Abraham's sake. God hears us for Christ's sake. We pray and we'll say, for Christ's sake. We pray for thy sake, because of Christ, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, and in the Holy of Holies, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Our hope, man, you look at that crowd and the way they're riding and they're going crazy and it's just anarchy. They don't know the Lord. They don't know what their hope is. And for generation after generation, all the way back to Adam, folks are always trying to bring in a new world, a new world order, a better world, a better this, a better that. They're not going to do it. The Lord said men will wax worse and worse. That's our nature. But what they need is Jesus Christ. I'm not mad at that crowd. They need Jesus Christ. Need to get mad at sin. The Bible talks about judging things. Said, they that are spiritual judgeth all things. Now, if the Word of God says it's wrong, then I'm against it. If God's against it, I'm against it. And we can judge things. Bible says, but he is judged of no man. I'm not sure where God, I don't know where God's heart is, but you can tell by their works. No, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you'll see that crowd. And most likely, most of that crowd is lost. Or they wouldn't be acting as crazy as they do. Most of the time. I won't say, but we can judge those things, those lawless things, and those mean and wicked things as being against God, against the Word of God. But if you've got a crowd that has never heard the Word of God, they just go on. They act wickedly, and by affinity, they gravitate to one another. By affinity. A riotous crowd gravitates to a riotous crowd. The same way a drunk wants to hang out with other drunks, or a dope head wants to hang out with other dope heads. By affinity, you gravitate to those who share the things that you are into or care about. Does that make sense? Webster defines hope as confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things to come. Or I get that turned around sometime. As a hope founded on God's gracious promises. Noah Webster said that. That which gives hope, he or she, he or that which furnishes ground of expectation or promises desired good. The prophet Joel said in Joel 3:16, it said, the Lord shall be the hope of his people. The Lord, that's our hope. I'm certainly not hoping in my ministry to get me to heaven. Anything good that I've ever done is God's grace inside of me. That's not me. You leave me to my own devices. There's nothing good there. Anything praiseworthy or good is the Lord in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's one of the mysteries. Mystery of the indwelling Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So our confidence in our future, our expectation of good, is a hope based upon the promises of God who cannot lie. Man, that's sure. That's good. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Bible says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Titus 1:2, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Webster defined hope as the highest degree of a well-founded expectation of good. So then our hope is based on the holiness and a good word is veracity. Is it the truth? One of the tests, when I was a detective, one of the tests for information, if you provided it, somebody gave you information, one of the two-prong, there was a case called the Aguilar test, whether that person had the ability to know the information, and the second prong of that two-prong test was the veracity of the information. Is it the truth? So we have the righteousness, the holiness, and the veracity of God, who has to tell us the truth. Man, isn't it wonderful to have something, somebody, a person that can tell you the truth? I know probably no one in here has probably ever told a little bitty lie. We're a mess. Move on, preacher. Our hope is based on the holiness, veracity of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:1, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Wow, that's a good one. You remember before the scripture was written? Scripture, the Bible wasn't completed till about 100 AD. And prior to that, God would give partial revelations. And people would speak in tongues as God gave them a partial revelation of Scripture. And there would be another one who would interpret. And they said, let it be done by twos or threes. Why? Because it says, let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. But then, of course, the Bible said when that which is perfect has come, when that book was completed around 100 AD, that which was in part shall be done away with. Tongues shall cease, knowledge shall be increased. You say, well, why didn't continue on? Because you can't. The Bible says not to add to or take from the Word of God. If you start speaking, telling somebody you're speaking in tongues, you tell them what God told you, you've just added to the Word of God. So I don't mess with that stuff. And there's people more spiritual than I are that are into that, but I don't see it scriptural at all. Also says that a woman should be, let a woman be silent in the church. So, 90% of that movement is women. If that movement stopped tomorrow, in 6 months, if the women stopped speaking in tongues, it'd be done in 6 months. Now, I didn't mean to get on that. How did I get sidetracked on that, Brother Phil? Get me out of this mess. Let me get up here. But it says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. And that kind of talked about before the scripture was completed. So first of all, our hope is based on the living Savior, Jesus Christ, who promised those who trust in Him eternal life. You want to go to heaven? Trust in Jesus Christ. What He did, not what you've done or will do or ought to do. John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation. Believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's the simplicity of Christ. Kind of stands out there that you want to go to heaven? Then you hear the word, you believe on him that sent me, you hath everlasting life. Remember that thief on the cross? Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Man, you got a thief over there. Man, it started off, he railed against the Lord to begin with, but man, in a few hours, he's crying out. He heard the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Man, you talk about a simple sinner's prayer, that's it. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 1 John 2:25, the Bible says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Nowhere does it say anywhere that it's something that we deserve. When someone shows you grace, it's giving to you something that you really don't have coming to you. It's from the grace is on the part of the giver. Secondly, we have the witness of the Holy Scriptures themselves. So now we've already got two witnesses. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've got the Scriptures. We have the witness of the Holy Scriptures themselves throughout the ages testifying of Jesus Christ. They testify, prophesy, I think 40-something specific details by over 40-something different prophets over a span of over 500 years, and every promise, every prophecy comes about right down to the money. Wow. You figure that into the law of probability. Hegel's law of probability. See what you come up with. the witness of the Holy Scriptures. John 1:45, the Bible says, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. The Bible says in Acts that to him give all the prophets witness. So our Lord's lordship is being established that he is the Son of God. Thirdly, we got the witness of John the Baptist. There's the third one. Then John 1 in verse 7, it said, The same came, talking about John the Baptist, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, which is a true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. My, my. Also, we've got the witness and the testimony through all the volumes of Scripture. Hebrews 10:7, Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Luke 1:69-70, it says, And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Man, we've got hope. And just over and over, Jesus told those Jews in John 8:17, he said, It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Nicodemus said, Well, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. The Lord said, Well, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, What? Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus, what? Can a man enter a second? I don't get it. Oh, well. Romans 3:21, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Then finally we have the witness within ourselves. You've trusted Christ, and then you become indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That body of flesh is cut loose from the soul, and the spirit is quickened, and that new creature inside of you is separated from the flesh. The Holy Spirit, by its holiness, cannot occupy that body of flesh. It had to separate it. The Spirit itself, it says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hebrews 10:15 says, Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. So then, whenever Webster defines hope as the highest degree of a well-founded expectation, we can take assurance in our hope of the Scriptures. My. We've got something to anchor on. The world don't have anything to anchor on. You know, governmental administrations change. Philosophies change. But when all is said and done, the only truth that we have that you can anchor on that never changes, the Lord's Word in heaven, Lord, thy word is settled forever. His word is settled forever in heaven. In whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The Lord said, I change not. So we've got something we can anchor to. And man, I'm just holding on to the Lord. I'm just holding on to the promises of God. And that's my hope. My hope isn't who gets elected. Donald Trump gets elected, I think, well, obviously the Christians have a better time of it because he's shown some respect to the churches. But I'm not going to put my hope in Donald Trump. And if that other crowd gets elected, I think it's going to be wilder than a calf around this country. But God knows what's going on. We talked this morning. Marvel not at the matter. For he that is highest regardeth also. God regards it also. Wherefore seeing, Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We've had a lot of witnesses down through the years. There's not a whole lot of old-time preaching left, old-time Bible preaching, but there's some. God has left a remnant of old-fashioned, just Bible, Holy Ghost preaching, the old-timers used to call it, where God fills a man with the Spirit. Chad Barrow's daddy was one of those. Man, he preached it. He had run them aisles. He'd shout it out, but he believed the book. He believed the book. And he preached what he believed. Brother Phil's an old-time preacher. There's still some around. There's a remnant around, but a big part of this world has gone into ritualistic, watered-down whatever. Say, well, preacher, that's just your opinion. Well, I guess it is. Time will tell. Lord knows. But you know why some people refuse to believe this book? They refuse to believe this book because their mind is already made up. Man, I think we need to try to fit in. I mean, I think we ought to have this program and that program and this going on because we need to fit in. Maybe. We need to fit in with the Lord and with His Word. If we don't fit in with the book, And I'm not here to master this book. What I would like to do is have this book master me. I'd like that book to get a hold of me and straighten me out. Many have placed their confidence in man's wisdom. Rejected the wisdom and the truth of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul wrote, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Effectually, that's a good word. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That causes an effect. Effect, that means it's empowered. The Word of God empowers you to do God's bidding and God's will. You know, you can have the fastest car in the county and go out there and you unhook the battery and you're not going to go too far. You need the power. And notice the last part of that verse, it says, which worketh also in you that believe. So, you've got to believe it. What makes it work is that you believe it. You have faith in it. Your hope is in what the Word of God tells you. Place your faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We already said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You go to that book and you don't believe it, God's not going to show you much of anything. If you go to that book trying to disprove it, you go to that book as a skeptic, good luck. You'll spend half of your life on the internet, Googling this man's opinion and that man's opinion. You'll be so confused. I've had them in church. They're so confused with religious ideas and principles and doctrine from here and there and yonder. And you Google some doctrine and you'll find out 150 for it, 250 against it. Stick to the book. Stick to the book. See, God has an order in this thing. And our Lord, John chapter 6. Go to John chapter 6. And I've read this verse before. I like this verse. John is having a conversation with... In John chapter 6, the Lord is having a conversation with the disciples. And down around verse 68, it says, "Then Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now watch it. Verse 69, and here's God's order. "We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." What came first? The belief. What's the order? You believe, and then God will give you the assurance. Isn't that right? We believe and are sure. We believe first, and then God gives the assurance. That contradicts the average American says, "You prove it to me, and I'll believe it." A guy named Sam Johnson. Two brothers, Fred and Sam Johnson, over by Milan. They had a Jewish dad. And you know, God always dealt with the Jews by signs and wonders. And I was witnessing, man, I was laying into Sam Johnson trying to convince him Jesus was a Christ. And Sam said, "Well, if you part the Red Sea, I'll believe that." That's that Jewish thing. But God, the way God works is not that way. God says, "You believe it, then I'll give you the assurance." We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. That's our hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What comes first? The belief. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You don't believe God, he'll never give you the assurance. You never will have the assurance if you're doubting God all the time. And that's those denominations said, "Well, you can't know for sure that you're going to heaven. No man can know for sure that you're going to heaven." That's not scripture. John says, "These things I've written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." That's 1 John 5:13. "That you might know that you have eternal life, that you might believe on the name of the Son of God." Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I'll see him at the last day." I know that. But man, time and time again, folks say, "Well, no man can know for sure. I hope I'm saved." If you get smart about that book, you can know you're saved. Just believe what it tells you. It tells you you can know it. If God said it, he's going to do his part. You do your part, God will do his part. He won't back up on it. God is faithful and cannot deny himself. All right. Now faith is, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Well, that Bible, I've heard a lot about it, and I've heard, man, it's really a great literature. If you think that all that book is a book of literature, it's like reading Moby Dick as if it's a whaling manual. You're missing the point. That's the Word of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That Word. All right, our hope must be grounded on the belief that Jesus is who He said that He was. John 20:31 said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. You know what we want? We want God to prove it to us. Oh, I'm not going to take your word for it, preacher. I'm not going to take the word of some old book here. God's got to prove it to me. God won't waste His time trying to prove anything to you. I had this conversation with one of my cousins. Oh, he'd been searching the manuscripts and searching this and that and everything. And I said, hey, brother, God don't have to prove anything to you or to me. Faith. Faith. We believe. Then God gives the assurance. You step out by faith. Maybe it's just a mustard seed grain of faith. Fellow that I buried over at Sumlin, he told me one time he was about to die of cancer. And he said, Tom, I don't know that I've got enough faith. I said, well, how about if you just step out on that measure of faith that you do have? You step out on that little mustard grain seed of faith. See, then His faithfulness moves the mountain. Does that make sense? For we have boldness and access by the faith of Him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ live within me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. His faith. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. So if we step out on that little mustard grain seed of faith, then it's His faithfulness that accomplishes your salvation. It is His faithfulness on the cross that made a way for you and I to be reconciled unto God. That's our hope tonight. Is that your hope? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. How's that next verse? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Didn't Dave sing part of that this morning? On Christ, a solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm done. What is your hope tonight? Your hope of rejoicing. What is your hope tonight? You've got a book that you can take to the bank. You can anchor on the veracity of a holy God. A fellow one time proved the Bible mathematically from Hegel's law of probability. He started with the thing like the prophet said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and there's like 26 cities within Judea. There'd be a 1 in 26 probability. And they kept adding all these probabilities and probabilities, and it came like 1 to the 10th power with 100 and something zeros behind it. It is not many, that many atoms in the universe. That Bible has to be the truth. And God promises us eternal life. Everyone stand up tonight. The altar's open for whatever reason. Won't you come tonight? Our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Number 14, the 11th.